Kansas City police just gave an update on today's shooting after the Chiefs' big Super Bowl victory parade, where at least one person was killed. But we're now learning 22 others were hurt, many of them children. Witnesses described the chaos.
I was just telling everybody to get down, and then like get out the way, and the officers were coming around, and that's what they did.
Mayor Quentin Lucas says he and his wife were among the thousands running for their lives.
This is absolutely a tragedy, the likes of which we would have never expected in Kansas City, and the likes of which we will remember for some time.
Three people are now detained, but law enforcement has ruled out terrorism. Sam Vinogad is a terrorism expert.
There are over 800 dedicated law enforcement officials at this parade. They engaged in extensive planning, extensive drills, and did everything in their power to prevent an incident like this.
Again, police saying one person killed, 22 others were hurt today. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new set of district boundaries for the state legislature waits for Governor Evers' signature. Republican lawmakers passed Evers' maps yesterday. Democrats like Senator Jeff Smith say Republicans only did it to beat the Wisconsin Supreme Court to the job.
Throwing the will of the people out the door and going right back to the old ways of the legislature protecting themselves, the majority protecting themselves.
The High Court says Wisconsin's current maps are unconstitutional. The top high school graduates in Wisconsin would get automatic admission to a Universities of Wisconsin school under a bill that's coming out of the legislature. Grads in the top 5% would be automatically accepted at Madison, and top 10% students everywhere else. It's part of the diversity deal lawmakers made with the UW system. It now goes to the governor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The predicted winter weather is a fluid situation. Most of the area north of I-94 is likely to get snow or a rain-snow mix. Rain is largely expected in areas south of the interstate. Where snow does come down, it'll result in reduced visibility with moderate to heavy bands of snowfall. An April trial date has been set for the man accused of sexually assaulting a downtown Waukesha store owner last year. 24-year-old Ken Drew Wilson is being held on a $2 million cash bond and charged with first-degree sexual assault of an elderly person and misdemeanor bail jumping. The case proceeded even though he refused to use Zoom to appear in court from the Columbia Correctional Institution. The alleged offense happened in February of 2023, just one day following Wilson's release from the county jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jam from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jam.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Baseball gets underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Major League Baseball teams in Arizona's Cactus League begin today. The Cubs and the White Sox each have pitchers and catchers reporting today. The Brewers get started tomorrow with their season opener Thursday, March 28th at Citi Field against the New York Mets. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a win on the road at Butler, 78-72. That's the eighth win in a row for the Golden Eagles. Marquette ranked fourth in the nation. In Madison, Wisconsin snapped a four-game losing streak by beating Ohio State at home. The Badgers 62, the Buckeyes 54. Wisconsin's Stephen Kroll and A.J. Storr, each with double-doubles in scoring and rebounding. NBA, the Bucks lost again, this time at home against the Heat, 123-97. Head coach Doc Rivers made this interesting statement.
We get our personality from the offensive end, and we don't want that. We want to get our personality from playing hard and doing defensive things.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Areas of rain tonight, some snow mixed late, and lows in the mid-30s. A rain and snow mix tomorrow morning, then some clearing for the afternoon and breezy. Highs into the mid-30s. On Friday, around 30 and a mostly cloudy sky. 30s for the weekend. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website. civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, boom! Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci's in the house. And it is Wednesday. Educators Amplified. We told you that. Educators Amplified every Wednesday. There's Teacher Hallie. Gotta say, Teacher Joanna is going to be here, but she's Teacher Joanna. She's at a Milwaukee Teacher Education Association. She's at a union meeting doing what a good teacher's supposed to do, attending those union meetings. Hey, just remind everybody to download the Civic Media app at the App Store from Apple, Google. Download it. You can catch us anywhere. We said, hey, if you are somewhere in Finland, hit that Civic Media app. You can check out Busted Pencils. Download us right there. And then remember, for people are going like, wait a minute, what's going on? Yes, 6 o'clock Central, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils. We are now officially 6 o'clock Central time all the time from now on, or at least until somebody decides that we need to be at a different time. But for now, it is 6 o'clock. And Stephen, we love that you're out there. We know you go to bed at 7 o'clock. Stephen, you can jump right in. 844-967-2789. Well, Teacher Hallie, welcome back. How are you?
Good. You know what? I can't believe you didn't say, like, happy love day.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
Valentine's Day.
I was really reflecting where Valentine's Day is a big day for me because I don't get into the all like, you know, it's just about like love to a significant other. I'm all about like expressing love to all the things that I'm appreciative of.
Wow.
So,
what's up? I agree.
I love you both. And I love doing this.
Coming in today, forgetting that it's Valentine's Day. Teacher Hallie, remind us. I mean, I'm wearing the red. I'm with Teacher Hallie. It's a day of appreciation and showing the love.
Yeah.
All the things that you care about and that care about you. Well, Hallie, we're glad to have you on the show. Tim, you're always my Valentine, but especially on Wednesdays. Happy Valentine's Day, my guy.
Happy and all the listeners out there, happy Valentine's Day. And everybody on the live stream checking us out, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter or X. I don't like calling it X. I still like Twitter. YouTube, if you're out there, hey, check it out. No, I am not in. I have my Bigfoot gear on. Everybody can check it out. That's a whole other story we're not going to get into tonight, but it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789. Wednesday, Educators Amplified. Every Wednesday, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna. Teacher Hallie, you guys put me and Johnny onto a little bit of a oh my goodness, look at that. Steven, there he is. We asked him to call. He must be getting ready to go to bed. Steven from Green Bay. How are you, Steven? Welcome back to Busted Pencils, my friend.
Let me just tell you, I don't get this kind of reception in any other show I call into.
Oh.
with this being said, I had a thought today, and I was hoping that you guys as educators could maybe help me out a little bit.
We'll try.
So, as you know, there was another shooting today.
Yes.
And I was wondering, how do children learn in the classroom when in the back of their mind they constantly have to worry about if someone's going to bust in their school and shoot it up? It must make learning pretty hard. I was just wondering if you guys could, you know, get some insight into that.
Steven, profound question. I mean, yeah, seriously, right there. Yeah, another shooting again today, mass shooting. The idea of children. I mean, Teacher Hallie, why don't you jump in there? I mean, even from a teacher's point of view, but I mean, your students, right? Are you doing active shooter? Were you guys doing active shooter drills and, you know, getting ready for the godforsaken day?
Yeah. So to clarify, does everyone know what happened? Should we?
We should probably just let listeners know if you haven't heard what happened today in Kansas City.
Kansas City, the Super Bowl parade. Go ahead, Johnny. Give a little breakdown there.
I mean, well, just for folks who might not know, and Stephen called in. Stephen, thanks for the call. But you know, somber moment, and it is real for every educator and for every child, and probably most parents out there as well. This is a big concern about safety in schools. But today, for folks who don't know, there was a shooting today at the Super Bowl parade in Kansas City. One person's dead, at least 21 other people injured by gunfire. I don't know all of the details. That's kind of the extent of the news updates I got before I got online here today. But again, another sad moment, gun violence in our country at a celebratory space. But our caller Steven called and brought that important point up, like, hey, how are kids supposed to learn? How are they feeling in schools? How are we teaching? What do teachers feel like? What's going on really in this country around this kind of threat of gun violence? It's very real.
I will say too, one, I appreciate Steven. Thank you for thinking about children in this situation.
Yes. My goodness.
You know, I'll say it's kind of a dichotomy. We're on one end of the coin. Yes, you know, I worked with high school age students, and so they're very aware of everything that's happening. It's at their fingertips. Even during like the active shooter drills, I mean, the anxiety skyrockets, having to communicate to parents about what's going on, even during a drill, is wild, you know, because I just remember times when there would even be drills, parents calling in being like, I want to take my kid out, you know, because they're afraid and not, you know, so the communication around all of this is difficult. And then, right, it just brings forth a high level of anxiety. I will say, though, that on the other edge, if you read statistics and learn about how children feel in school, they do feel safe. It's almost like when you bring it to their attention or when something happens tragically in our world, it comes to their mind. And I think kids are so in the moment, like in the present moment, that it's not on their mind. So then they do feel safe in their school, you know? So that's what I mean. It's like this push-pull of...
That makes sense. I mean, I thought when you think about that, it's just like, yeah, I mean, kids, they still feel safe. It's good to know that, too, because, I'm thinking, you know, how do you sit there every day imagining this possibility? Mm-hmm. And then the fact that it's reinforced by active shooter drills. And now, you know, who knows? I'm sure right now, and there are some kids, though, too, probably like me, who are out there, like, stuff gets stuck in some kids' noggins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they just dwell on it. And then you think about that and you hyper. And so, I mean, Stephen, great. I don't like to say great question, because it's a horrible thing that we have to say great question. But, boy, thinking of the kids and the tragedy. And the reality is here is that, you know, no child. Well, how about this? No citizen should be walking around being frightened of being shot at school, at church, at a parade. I mean, this is the reality, and we are not going to do a whole gun thing on the show tonight, Busted Pencils, but come on, feeling safe and being able to go to a parade, to church, to school, to synagogue, those are just things we need to get back to. Thank you, Stephen, for the call. Stephen, you can now go to bed. We know that this is your bedtime, man. Have some sleepy time. Have some sleepy time tea, and we will see you tomorrow at 6.
At Donnie,
you
want to stay up till 7?
Well, yeah, and producer Anya's bringing in some, helping us bring in some facts up to date at the moment. You know, 8 of the wounded in the shooting are children. There are children and families and all kinds of folks at this parade, including players, right, and their families and their children and all of that. It's a major celebratory moment. So on top of not only did we kind of fold in the threat of gun violence in our schools, it just kind of bring up the Super Bowl is a big moment, whether you're a football fan or not. It's a big moment in this country. It's woven into the fabric of our cultures. And then celebrating it, whether you won or you lost, is also a big part of that. And so for kids, for also thinking about kids in this moment, like how do we teach in moments where the news is scary and it's real and coming off the heels of celebrating the Super Bowl win, whether your team won or lost or didn't even make it, right? How do we teach in times of conflict? And I want to put that out there. I want to say in a country with gun laws like this country has, in states and in places where people convene and the threat of violence is just right there, right? It's really how do we teach children in these times of conflict? Because not only are there noted, like notable conflicts and wars around the world that are impacting children, there is really a you know, an attack on life here in this country to where families are in danger, right? It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, or how you're participating in celebrating this event. From what I can gather from the information we have, you know, this is a mass shooting. And again, this is, again, a big thing. It keeps coming up, whether it's in schools or whether it's in gatherings, you know, whether it's a music festival or whether it's a Super Bowl celebration, right? This is a this is important. I mean, how do we teach in these times where that's going to weigh heavy on kids?
Hallie, you were saying.
Well, I hear in it too the importance for teaching, like well-being, right? You know, for someone to enter a place of celebration and shoot people, that's a space of being unwell. So I think about that. And then I think about the people who are there. I think about the people who hear about it and how that just, that heightens our dysregulation and how, you know, so I really hear it as like, in a world where there's so much conflict, how can we in education embrace talking about these things, talking about the well-being and work to heal, you know? I just, that's how my brain thinks in it, and being able to have the time to do that and viewing that equally, if not more important than the academics.
Wow. Yes. Hard making the transition. And I see teacher Joanna is in the studio. She'll be with us for the next segment though. The whole idea though, academics and getting ready regulation, you know, we are going to move though into this place where, hey, things are still going on in schools, and we wanted to bring this up to go, did you all know that high-stakes standardized testing still rules the day? If you've forgotten that, we're here to remind you, and teacher Joanna and teacher Hallie are going to bring it when we talk about the reality of what's really happening. I'm going to pitch something out there, too. Everybody, what's a psychic pay cut?
What?
Psychic pay cut, hey, and it does not have anything to do with dead people. Busted pencils.
Oh my
more
goodness.
With Educators Amplified when
soon.
We get back. When we get back.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area, from residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
Labor shortages, retention problems, it's been a challenging time for my business. But in Wisconsin, there's 600,000 people with disabilities who are ready to work right now. They just need you to believe in them and say yes. I did.
And once you say yes, Thinkability Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support for people with disabilities and their employers to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Love it, right through the undertow. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. It is Wednesday. Educators Amplified are in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie. Every Wednesday, it is Educators Amplified. And just in case you're going like, what the heck is on my radio right now? Yes, Busted Pencils is on at 6 o'clock every night now. It's official. It is not a mistake. It is true. It is us. It is Tim, Johnny, and on Wednesdays, it's Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified. A little bit of, you know, current event news and, you know, hey. It is, yeah, being a kid during the times of shooting, being a teacher, all those things are issues. But, you know, we want to bring this into the classrooms and kind of remind people. We put out there high testing. You know, I remember in 2001, like, hey, this testing is going to ruin us. And I don't know. Here it is in 2024. And I'm wondering, like, what's the state of what's happening in schools, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie, when we're talking about this? Because it may feel like, at least to me, because my kids are out of school, I opted my kids out. I'm out of this. I mean, testing's not that big of a deal anymore, right?
It's what drives everything that we do.
And Tim, to be clear for our listeners, you know, when we talk about testing and we kind of throw some quotes up around testing, we're really bringing into focus this overwhelming amount of standardized testing, high stakes.
Thank you, John.
Standardized testing. For some of our listeners, will remember them as the bubble test. We had to get the number two pencils out and, you know, and spend time assessing sort of where students are at, separate from the kind of curricular stuff that's happening all the time in our classrooms, where teachers can sort of find out where their students are at. This is high stakes. Yeah. Rico came in on YouTube.
Is it still required to take the test? Computer.
Yeah.
Okay, Teacher Hallie. Yes. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, give the state of high of standardized testing.
Well, what I think is really interesting is we kind of planned ahead of time that we were going to talk about how, you know, the days of standardized testing are still alive and well. But I think it's really interesting that Stephen called in and talked about another shooting, because I'm like, right, reality says we should really work with students in the here and now. And yet, when they go to school, teachers are told/forced to teach to the test, you know, so we have this mismatch of what children need versus what schools are saying we should do. And so I really think from my lens as an educator, I know how much standardized tests have really, they're just woven into everything that we do now. In like the little ways that probably a parent wouldn't see it, you know, as I'm a parent watching my child's education with a teacher background, I'm like, whoa, you know, I can see it, but others can't. And where I can just, you know, and so to me, then for my teacher experience is I'm trying to help pull out for my child's teacher, like, what's really great about you? What do you see about my child versus what are these data points that you have to tell me about?
That are likely inaccurate. And so my biggest issue, or when I speak about standardized tests, the thing is, I think the biggest damage it's done is it's corrupted our understanding of what learning is. And, you know, it's made it really narrow, defined, competition based. You know, when they're like, well, if it doesn't equal, you know, Hallie earlier was talking about really the need to be able to process emotion. when you guys were talking about what the caller said, like, right? Like, this is a need to be able to process emotion. And that always takes me to what we talk about with, there are four domains of learning and development for a child, and it's physical, it's emotional, it's social, and it's intellectual. My issue with standardized tests is it focuses all of our attention on one of those domains. And it's the intellectual, I'm finger quoting here, because it's around what we currently call academic achievement. But students, children need equal time and resources in all of those domains. It's insidious, though. It's in everything. Like the things that you wouldn't think. So it isn't necessarily, I love Papo Rico typing in, but it isn't necessarily everything's like a formal, you know, standardized test. But now the way that just like what we call formative instruction is done is in a standardized way. So, it's basically, though, like these guides and these tests and these purchase curriculums are setting, are they're determining what learning is and how it's measured. And it's not being determined between the teacher and the student.
I see a lot of it in elementary levels, just like a shout out to my elementary folk. I mean, it's through K-12, but like I just remember talking to my elementary teachers and them really being like, I have to follow a script. I have to follow a pacing guide. And I don't, what's interesting to me is I think it feels so unbelievable to parents that this is happening. And I'm like, no, it's happening, you know, because they want the same thing on the same day at the same time from every other, you know, class in that school building so that they're prepared for these tests.
So the reality is that we are still a public school day. And as you point out, Hallie, you know, second grade through eighth grade, particularly driven largely by the high stakes standardized tests that, that are still out there. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, at all these things that came out there. If you're thinking that, well, they're gone, they're over. They're not gone and over. They have just become the norm, the reality.
I was going to say, not even right, gone and over. It's the part that even people expect, even though they don't like them or even want them.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. Teacher Joanna, I really appreciate how you explained for our listeners too, that it's more than just the test. It's shifted and changed the culture and the dynamic to where the materials often imposed on teachers or the pressures to teach to the test. So the test is really influencing. It's sort of like when the rules dictate the game, right? And there's a rule change in a game that really changes the way the game is played. And we step back as either fans or participants in a sport and say, is this actually the sport anymore? Or have the rules really changed the game? In testing, and Tim, you brought up two federal policies, No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. So for our listeners, those are highly influential policies that come from the federal government that have trickle-down effect on how schools are funded and how success is measured. And really what we're talking about here is that it's more than just the bubble test days. It's really shifted the culture and the pressure and the expectation on what teachers teach and the curriculums that schools and districts purchase and impose. And so it's very much, you know, radically influenced what's happening in schools.
And I'm going to add, it's changed how kids feel and how they feel about their learning.
And I'm just going to throw this out there too, Tim and Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, because I agree, it's changed the feel. And for listeners, we're not just talking about maybe one day a month or once a year, like maybe some of us experienced as students. We're talking the ranges between 16 and 38 days a year, a school year, that on average.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
So Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are giving Governor Evers another chance to consider sweeping income tax cuts. A bill that got final approval yesterday would cut state taxes by $2 billion. Republican Representative David Murphy.
People in Wisconsin are suffering, and I hear it every day. We collect taxes to be able to have enough money to provide services, and when we have more than that, the taxpayers deserve that money back.
Democrats say most of the breaks would go to people who make $100,000 a year or more. Republican state lawmakers have passed a parent's bill of rights. They range from approving pronouns to pulling kids out of classes or functions they find objectionable. The state Senate passed it along party lines yesterday. The assembly approved it last month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. An area state senator would move to run again if he had to. State Senator Julian Bradley, a Republican from Franklin, plans to run for re-election in the 28th Senate District, even if he has to move. That would be due to the implementation of Governor Evers' proposed maps. Bradley was elected to the seat 4 years ago, but under Evers' plan, he would be paired with Senator Van Wongard, a Republican from Racine in the 21st Senate District. If the maps become law, the 28th District would become an open seat, covering parts of Waukesha, New Berlin, Maguanago, and Muskego. Cheer teams from two area high schools are national champions. The Greendale High School combined cheer and pep band won at the Universal Cheerleaders Association National Competition last week. The Menominee Falls cheerleading squad also competed and won. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
I'm Earl Ingram. It's Black History Month, and I'm honored to welcome special guests to talk about it. On Thursday, February 15th, I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson at 8 a.m. to talk about the important messages he brings to rural communities across our state and the impact history has on us today.
Don't miss the Earl Ingram Show with special guests throughout Black History Month here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Norma Rae would be proud. Deadline.com reports that workers at Disneyland who are not unionized have decided to try to join Actors Equity. The alliance makes sense given that these are the park employees who wear the costumes and are the most visible in the Magic Kingdom. The same employees at Disney World and Florida have been unionized for decades. The workers are calling themselves Magic United and are hoping to be recognized by the company, but said they aren't afraid to wear their costumes to the negotiating table. Alicia Keys fans took to social media to debate whether or not her voice crack on the song If I Ain't Got You Baby during the Super Bowl halftime show was edited out of the performance before it was posted on the NFL's YouTube channel. In a related story, Janet Jackson's boob was quoted as saying, "Seriously?" For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Areas of rain tonight, some snow mixed late, and lows in the mid-30s. A rain and snow mix tomorrow morning, then some clearing for the afternoon and breezy. Highs into the mid-30s. On Friday, around 30 and a mostly cloudy sky. 30s for the weekend. Currently 40 degrees.
The Todd Allbus Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Make your mark, heavy and dark. Make your mark, heavy and dark. As you make your way through life, gotta know wrong from right and make your mark.
Listen to that. Make your mark. with a number two busted pencil. That's what you want to do it with. 844-967-2789. Lots of pencils being busted over those standardized tests. It is Wednesday night. Educators Amplified. Every Wednesday, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie joining us, talking about the, you know, the thing that has never actually gone away, which is everything in the school day is run by testing. And we were talking about, you know, we definitely want to bring back the psychic pay cut. But thinking about this, Joanna was saying, you know, the effects on kids. And I said during the break, how about, you know, wait, let's talk about the double whammy of the effect on kids learning and the effect on teachers teaching. And the way I see this, and this drove me crazy, you know, we don't have a teacher shortage. We have a teacher exodus. Let's be clear. This, you heard it. If this is the first time you heard it here on Busted Pencils. No shortage teacher exodus. Teachers have had it. They can't teach. Students have had it. They're disengaging. Teacher Joanna and Hallie, I mean, is it too simple for me to put it that way? It's kids hate it. Teachers hate it. Everybody hates it. Why are we doing it?
Oh, well, what I'd like to think about is kind of the opposite. I've had the experience for the majority of my career of actually seeing kids intrinsically motivated by their own intellect and curiosity. And I've had that opportunity through alternative education, or and my children had that opportunity through Montessori education. But that is not the standard. Those are very small exceptions. And again, I'll go back to how we're defining learning. So what teachers and what kids are disengaging from is what we're currently calling learning. Because Tim, back when we were first meeting up, do you remember I ran that group, the Caucus of Millennial Educators?
Yes. Yeah.
And we had a group of, and that Hallie was in that group, right? It was a group of all young teachers and, or new, you know, teachers who were new to the profession. And one of their biggest challenges was they felt really like, why did I do an interview? Why did they ask me who I am and what I think is important? Because then I got in this job and I couldn't do any of that. I had to, we had one friend who would always say, I've got to put my brain in a drawer or I've got to just hide who I am. And they were so disillusioned and disenfranchised by the fact that once they got into a classroom, they actually weren't allowed to create and innovate. And facts, most of those people are not currently teaching. In fact, I can only think of two that I think are of, and that was in a group of about, 12 or 15.
Mm-hmm. Teacher Hallie.
Oh yeah. You know, I was part of that little crew. And I'll say that even just for myself personally, like my entire career really has been like the demoralization of teachers. And so that psychic pay cut of like, right, I'm doing this because I have like a moral compass or a moral like calling to this, to do something greater than me. And yet I have elected officials telling me how horrible teachers are. I've got other people proposing that I should be holding a gun so that if there's an active shooter, I've got, you know, teachers are now groomers. You know, and I've got a litter box in the classroom, and all of those things take those hits of like, you know, and then also what Joanna said of like, and then also follow this script. And if you don't do it correctly, you're on a plan of improvement. So,
and I think we're all on the same page. Testing, large standardized testings imposed by federal policy has contributed significantly to those conditions. That's one of the things we all kind of agree on. That's been a massive like reshaping of what it means to be a teacher, what we can do in the classroom, and the kinds of engaging ways that we can teach and be with learners in exciting and creative ways.
Yeah, professionals themselves wouldn't choose it.
No, they don't. No. You follow the patterns. They send their kids to different kinds of schools, or they migrate towards teaching in those kinds of contexts where the test is not dictating what's being taught and learned in classrooms.
Well, or and I'm saying if we were designing the system, if we were had more influence in the in how schools operated, the professionals would not say this is how we should do it.
Well, let's see what Jack from Merrimack, let's see what Jack says. Jack, what's happening? You got your busted number two pencil ready to go, man?
Yeah, well, let's see, where do I start here? First of all, so-called objective, these multiple choice tests, they're very, very limited in what they can actually test. And we all know that. And even the people that design them admit that. And the second thing is that if you're giving tests that are more subjectively graded, now who decides? And a lot of times the people that have designed those questions or the answers are not professional educators. They're people that have an idea or an agenda of a certain way that something should be answered or written. And the bottom line is these tests that we're stuck with using in the public schools don't really tell us a lot about what the students are really learning. They tell us, are they learning these particular defined things, but that doesn't necessarily mean a real education. It simply means they're learning these defined things.
Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate it. Teacher Joanne is clapping for those of you on the live stream. You can see that. Teacher Joanne, I will follow up that clapping with a comment for Jack.
Well, I just appreciate how, again, many people understand what the issue is, but somehow we feel hopeless that it can be changed or something. You know, it's like we all kind of get it. And again, people who are experienced and educated about education know this.
Educated educators who talk education. Right. Okay. Teacher Hallie.
I kind of want to throw a curveball in here and I want to hear from you all how you would respond. So, the testing regime is here and it's how schools are looked at it, whether they're doing, you know, if they're proficient or not. And right, all we hear about from people is that like schools are failing teachers, you know, or students are in this learning gap. I hope all the listeners are up to speed with me.
The sky is always falling.
Yes, but here's what I'll say. Public education supporters will be like, well, if those tests are, you know, like if the kids aren't doing well, what do we blame it on? Do you know what I mean? Like if the kids aren't doing well on these tests, what do we blame it on? Can we blame it on like a right-wing school board? Can we blame it on a superintendent we don't like? You know, like it turns into this, like they want to use it to help their argument. But I'm always like, we can't use testing as our argument to save public schools.
Nice. Teacher Hallie, I used to say that all the time in 2011. I'm like, the problem, there is no room on this issue because they are going to use the scores all the time, regardless whether they're high, whether they're low. These are the weapon and they will figure out a way to twist it into a conversation or an attack that makes us look bad. L.A. Tom is on the line. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations, and I hope that we wake up and realize that. Second, that is the problem. It's money in politics. It's money in the fact that, like Finland as an example, they were the lowest, school system in the world, and now all of a sudden they're like number one because they've gotten away from the standardized testing and they've gotten away from all of that. But the thing is, if you don't have people that are proponents for public education, we really need to, in this country, we need to learn It's a very simple, basic concept, but I know people don't understand it. We need to learn the difference between private and public. And we need to understand that there are very, very good public institutions that are in place and government programs that are in place. But then what happens is we start negotiating. Then what happens is someone starts buying off a politician. Then what starts to happen is we start taking little cuts to these programs that were so vital to us, like public education. And then all of a sudden everyone says, oh, it's not working. It's not working. Therefore, we must privatize, which privatization is all about profitization. Yeah. Public institutions are about what's good in it for the public and the taxpayers and what we pay. But people don't understand the difference between those two concepts. I really, really hope every day you guys can hammer on the difference between public and private.
Well, I tell you what, anybody listening right now hears from L.A. Tom the difference between public and private. L.A. Tom, man, we love when you call. Teacher Hallie, though, too, on this, right, is the, your curveball. I want to go back to your curveball a little bit just because the idea here, though, too, is that they are going to be weaponized, those scores. And then even to Tom's point here, those scores are always weaponized by those. And this is where when you say you're a public school supporter, we should help get better test scores because it'll keep our public schools. No. Supporting these are guaranteed that you are supporting people who want to end public schools. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the results of this, teachers quitting, kids not learning, is that I think you see people now. And Teacher Joanna was before the show was like, I don't know if you want to go there, Tim. I'm going here, Teacher Joanna. I think that this is creating, though, then a market for disenfranchised parents to hear the choice argument and to be receptive to the choice argument, because now they're going, I want my kids to not be disengaged. I want my kids' teachers to not be demoralized. I want my kids' teachers to love being psychically rewarded by doing all the awesome things that drove them into this profession. In fact, I might even want them being financially rewarded. My goodness, let's get them out of these public schools, these godforsaken, soulless public schools. Too much, Teacher Joanna?
No, I hear you. I get it. And because, right, this is an organized attack. And that goes way back. And testing is a part of it. And it is, I think it's kind of using that thing that we were all kind of used to assuming wasn't that bad because it wasn't that often. And maybe it gave us some useful information as a snapshot from back, you know, it took advantage of people's understanding and, like I said, kind of acceptance of like, well, yeah, you're in a school, you're going to have a test.
Mm-hmm.
But it's advantage of that, and it's like I said, it's to a different level. But yes, it's absolutely part of the attack, the plan to dismantle public education. Absolutely.
And I'll layer on there before we go to the break, Tim. I'll just layer on this important conversation has shifted into this discussion of public and private, but really it's about utilizing government to deregulate what's happening in something public like public schools. Because it's a billion-dollar industry. And Tim, you brought it up. It's marketizing. It's really creating a free market economic system in our schools. And historically, pre those policies you mentioned earlier, that's not been the role of public education. There's been some strong government involvement in separating out the economic gain, the corporate interest involvement in schools. And so once those doors were opened, right? We're talking about why we even have these tests as often as we do and use the way that they're being used, right? It's because there's lots of money to be made at the expense of our children.
Get the numbers, y'all.
Hey,
it's a billion-dollar industry.
Billion-dollar industry. And when we get back to it, too, I mean, hey, if you can come up with a great canned curriculum, you can sell it right now. Busted Pencils back after the break.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
2024 is a leap year. It may just mean an extra day to some, but here's Bob Bonadura with the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium.
We orbit the sun in 365.25 days, meaning we have leap day February 29th every 4 years.
So our orbit around the sun isn't a perfect number of days. Bonadura says this was figured out for the first time 2,000 years ago.
I think of Julius Caesar back 2,000 years ago was the first calendar to have a leap day because our orbit is actually a little less than 365.25. It's 365.2422. The calendar got out of whack by 11 days, 1582. So imagine living 1582, October 4th. The next day was October 15th.
A new calendar created in the 1700s moved the leap day to February. Until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Moving important issues that are the issues of the day before the American people must get done.
We're always sending out a memo here. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we're busting pencils, those number two pencils for the tests. Yes, the tests are still there. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, you name it, state testing, PSSAs, Wisconsin Badger tests, they're all still out there. They've become to the point where we've forgotten, but hey, we're here to remind you on Busted Pencils that they're still out there and they're still doing as much, maybe even more damage now because of them being so darn stealth in this sense. However, though, what are we going to do, though, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna? How are we going to save public schools from the ruin? How are we going to save kids from the disengagement? How are we going to inspire teachers to get back into the classroom and to say, this is a place, as teacher said, of learning, true learning? Give us some hope, you two.
Well, I have the answer for it all, but I don't. I mean, I can just share what worked for me and what really connected my students and I, and how we were able to still be generative and kind of thrive together. And it was by addressing the needs that were right in front of us. I mean, more specifically, when I talked earlier about these four domains of learning and growth, that there's physical growth, there's emotional growth, how we think and feel about ourselves, social growth, how we're in relationship with other people, and intellectual. We worked with students and they could very easily identify their own need. And when we would build work around that, that was intrinsically motivating for them and for myself. There's something about, like, that's the issue that's in front of us. We keep hearing about how teens are disconnected, you know, and students are disconnected, disaffected, disassociating. So we've got to meet that need. And I'm all about, it's just as important to be literate in, you know, literacy and numeracy as it is as the literacy of healing and understanding your brain and your body and how you operate as an individual in relation to other people. And I know that sounds like really conceptual maybe, but it is what kids are really in, kids of all levels are very interested in understanding the stories of themselves and others. So it's bring it to the humans, bring it to what's there, bring it to what you don't have to buy. This is all within us. This is what we create. This isn't expensive. This can be done.
We can do.
Yeah. I'll add too, you know, when you speak about, you know, to go real, full circle with, you know, right, the standardized test is all about math skills and reading skills. And we really talk about that these emotional skills or well-being skills, healing skills are just as important. And I will say, you know, I can go big picture and day-to-day picture, where big picture can get stuck in the overwhelming loop of the privatization and the loss of the soul of public education, you know? And then I come back to the human side of, I watch my children in schools and I talk with their teachers, and I am an avid public school advocate. And so I do see these high quality professionals still in our schools, despite
this attack, you know? And so really being able to have human conversations with teachers, I think has helped as well, of just being like, hey, I know you've got pressures in the classroom. It is not coming from me and my family. You know, my child feels love. My child loves school. Thank you for that. And so that's where I still find hope. And like, I can continue to believe in public education because I do see, you know, from my friends who are in public education and from my children's experience that despite what's going on, there is so much good. It blows my mind.
And as Educators Amplified, that is what we advocate for.
Yes.
We're saying you have highly qualified, credentialed, professional people out here who know how to do this with children. It, you brought it up last week, Tim. It's like, let the teachers teach.
I said it is the number one response when I was looking at teachers. Why are they the exodus? I did research, you know, 500 teachers and boy, you know, tons and tons and tons of data. But boy, it could be simplified into how do you fix this? Just let me teach. Just let me teach. And you can imagine that putting that down to a child is a child saying, just let me learn. And if you heard a child say, just let me learn, that would translate into, and it ain't this simple little number two type of pencil crap. Let me learn gets messy. It's complicated. It's fun. It's challenging. It's all of those things about a human connection. Kids aren't sitting there going, I can't wait to get ready for the math test. No kid ever said that, and no teacher ever thought about it. Johnny Lupinacci, right? You were out there when you were teaching math. Weren't you prepping those kids for that math test?
Well, yeah, I was, because it was, you know, teaching in an era of high stakes standardized tests. But also, you know, a good assessment is one that, you know, documents learning. And there are more good assessments than simply the standardized tests that are imposed, right? Quite frankly, there's lots of really great creative ways to be teaching learners and to assess their learning in ways that allow for, like we're talking about, the creativity, the emotional regulation, to being present at the moment of learning new things and sharing those, being able to show those skills and be healthy doing them, right? I think by and large, to summarize it, all of us agree that the culture of schools and classrooms, as they've been shaped by testing, by this large standardized testing, has made it so it's really hard to be healthy. It's really hard to be present, like really fully like awoke to the joy of learning and being in community with others. That has fallen to the side at the expense of, let's get these numbers. Let's see where these kids are at. And it's really not also where they're at, right? It's a snapshot of where their dysregulated, contained, controlled bodies are in that moment. And it's not their best selves. For most kids, I'll say that as someone in the classroom, at least students I worked with, it's not our best foot forward. And so why are we doing it? And one of the reasons we knew, Tom brought it up when he called, LA Tom, we've all talked about it here, because somebody's got to make money on this situation. And that just shouldn't be the priority when we're talking about what kinds of efforts and investments we're making in our kids and the futures of our communities.
Wow. Holy crap. Educators. Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, the time. My goodness, we need more time with you too, Teacher Joanna. Teacher Hallie. Next Wednesday, though, we'll get you back. It's always every Wednesday. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified, busted pencils, fully leaded. See you tomorrow night.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Tune into The Earl Ingram Show Thursday at 8 AM for Black History Month conversation with Reggie Jackson. I'm Earl Ingram.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season.
And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks.